The woman behind him quickly grabbed it. Joey calmly asked her to return the $20 bill to the blind man. She refused and stuffed it into her purse. Joey came from behind the counter, helped the blind man to find a place in the Dairy Queen so he could enjoy his lunch. He went back behind the counter, and the lady approached to place her order. Joey refused to serve her. He asked her calmly again to return the $20 bill to the blind man and asked her to leave. He remained calm all the while. The woman left with a tirade of words as she left the establishment. Joey then went to the table where the blind man was sitting. He reached in his own billfold, pulled out a $20 bill, and gave it to the blind man. A customer who had witnessed the whole scene emailed the incident to the Dairy Queen head office. Then it made its way to Facebook, then to the newspapers. I mean, the story went viral. And one day, Joey got a call from Warren Buffett, the owner of Dairy Queen. And Warren Buffett invited Joey to come to their next shareholders meeting and share his story. Yes, even in a world of corrupt values and morals, integrity still exist. Now I know that each and every one of us here this morning, deep down in our hearts, long for integrity. And you know what? Integrity is expected from you and from me. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 70 clearly reads, "The godly, the just, the righteous, walketh in his integrity." Now we need to zero in on what integrity is. The Oxford Dictionary defines it this way: it's the quality of being honest, strong moral principles, good character, fairness, sincerity, trustworthy. And deeper still is the second definition. Now listen closely and catch the truth. It's the state of being whole, W-H-O-L-E, and undivided. In math, there are two kinds of numbers. We have what we call integers, whole numbers, you know, like 2, 158, those are whole numbers. And then we have fractions, a half, a fourth, 2.5, Now, when it comes to integers, Latin means whole or entire, not a part, but whole, entire. If I ask for a dozen eggs, I'm given 12 eggs, hopefully, if the person behind the counter or in the box can count them correctly. I'm not given half a dozen. I'm given a whole dozen. Even if you go to the bakery and ask for a dozen donuts and they give you a baker's dozen, guess what? They don't give you 12 and one half of a donut. They give you 13, a whole donut. Now, that's good if you and your wife are going to divide that dozen and a half. Well, the word integrity comes from the same root word that integer comes from. Integrity means to be whole. It means to be undivided. And that especially is true when it comes to what we believe, our morals and our values, that we do not compromise, but that we remain whole, undivided. The Apostle Paul wrote to young Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, and he said, now Titus, I want you to remain whole in what you believe. He said, I want you to act in integrity when it comes to the doctrines of the Word of God. I want you to have a life that will be a challenge to those that you minister to. Now, when we come to the Word of God, there are a couple of words that are closely related to integrity. Faithfulness and sincerity. Mark those down. Faithfulness and sincerity. Now, when we talk about faithfulness, talking about the characteristic of God. This is who God is. He is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7:9 puts it this way. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 puts it this way. God is faithful. And then we all recognize those verses in Lamentations verse 3, where we read these words, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You better thank God for his mercy, or otherwise none of us would be here. That's truth. None of us would be here. It's only of the Lord's mercies that we are still alive. And it says, because compassions fail not, because he loves you. That's the only reason you're here. His mercy and his love. And then it says in verse 23, those mercies, those compassions, new every morning. Why? Because of the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Now we talk about a faithful God. We're talking about a God that can be counted on. I mean, you can count on him. The next air you breathe is because of his mercy and his love toward you. He's a faithful God. He will allow you to breathe your next breath of air. You can thank God over and over and over again for his faithfulness. Why don't you take a day someday, and the moment you get out of bed, that's faithfulness number one, that you can get out of bed. Faithfulness number two, that you can breathe. Write those down, and everything that goes through your day, write down what is the faithfulness of God. It will overwhelm you. The faithfulness of God. Let's just look at the aspect of, we're going to have lunch. God has been faithful in providing your food. God has been faithful in providing the financial means whereby to buy that food. God has been faithful in giving you the opportunity to live in a country where you have so much to choose from for that meal. God has been faithful in allowing you to eat that food. For some of you, you still have your teeth. Others, well, he's faithful in allowing you to chew that food, digest that food, process that food, give you strength and energy to continue on. And yes, you can even be thankful for a faithful God who has allowed you dishes that food off of, to wash those dishes so that you can eat off of them again and again, hopefully washing them. He's a God that can be counted on. And you know what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, these words. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required of you and me to be found faithful, to be counted on. It's amazing that in the Word of God there are only 13 people that are said to be faithful. That's the chief characteristic of their life. Five Old Testament, eight New Testament. Now, this is the ins and outs of these people, even when it's not recorded in the Word of God. Okay? So you see, there's a lot that God sees that we don't see. You got to take that into account. Everything that's in the Word of God is not everything about that person, mind you. There are a lot of in-betweens that are not written in the Holy Word of God about these individuals. But God never misses any of those moments in anyone's life. So 5 in the Old Testament. Here they are: Daniel, Hanani, Moses, Samuel, Abraham. Those 5 were said to be faithful. Now, when it comes to the New Testament, there are 8. Lydia, Timothy, Paul, Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, Silvanus, and Antipas. Now, how many of those did you recognize? And here's a more important question. Could you put your name there? Could you say that you are faithful? Proverbs 20 again, verse 6, the verse just before our key verse today, verse 7. Verse 6 says these words: each man will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Now let's think about those from Solomon. He is saying, there are a lot of people out there who are eager to brag about themselves. I find them all the time. I'm sure you do as well. However you might be in that group. But it says at the end of that verse, but who can find a faithful man? That is, a faithful man will not brag about his own goodness, but he will brag about his God. Because what he has to say about God is more important than what he has to say about himself. Because you realize your faithfulness comes from God. It's not something you bring about in your own life. Here it is. It is not important what you claim to be. What is important is how faithful you are. Got it? It's not important what you claim to be. What is important, faithful you are. Closely tied to faithfulness, which is a mark of integrity, is sincerity. Sincerity means to be genuine, to be authentic. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now let's tear that verse apart. Let's look at the very first phrase. It says that you may approve things that are excellent. We are in the assessment of an assayer. The assayer's duty is to test for authenticity, to see if it's genuine, if it's real. Now, in the days of the gold rush, this was absolutely necessary. For many people had thought they had struck it rich when only they had discovered pyrite, which is fool's gold. Now, in my hurrying about this morning, I did not get my chunk of fool's gold to bring before you people to show. You would have absolutely have thought, that's gold, but it's not. It looks like gold, but it's not gold. Fool's gold. Absolutely, I guess, worthless when it comes to finding gold. Well, the assayer wants to prove things that are excellent. Why? Now catch the truth, that you may be sincere. Now, the word sincere is actually a Latin word which means without wax. The Greek is sincera, which means sun tested. Now, follow me. Listen close. Are you listening? Say amen. Okay, now here we go. Now, watch this. The ancients had a very fine porcelain, which was greatly valued and very expensive. But there were dishonest dealers in their day. And sometimes this porcelain that was so valued would develop small cracks. You may have seen that sometimes in your own porcelain, if it's fine bone china. I was going to bring that too, but then I thought a second thought, if I drop that teacup, that might be world, no, it wouldn't be. But I bought a lot of those teacups, and when I bought them, they were, when we were first going together and first got married and anniversaries and so forth, they only cost $25. Now, I'm not saying my wife's cheap, but they only cost $20 in those days. Cup and saucer. If you would go and buy one of those cup and saucers today, it would cost you somewhere between $75 and $100. Okay. I had second thoughts on bringing that. And especially when I thought of putting the piece of pyrite in the cup. Now that's going to work. So, the Lord stopped my foolishness, I guess, in that. But here's what happened. When that fine china developed those small cracks, these dishonest dealers would take that porcelain, and they had a pearly white wax that they could melt and fill in those cracks. And then later they could take the excess away, and hopefully people wouldn't know the difference. So that caused the honest dealers to have to come up with an idea to make sure people would buy their china, and they would mark their fine porcelain china sin Sarah. That means without wax. And the way that that could be tested is that you could hold that fine porcelain up to the sun and you would see clearly there weren't any cracks that were filled in that fine china. So, these dealers of this fine china marked it sincera, sun tested. Ha. Now you and I, catch the truth, are to be sun tested, S-O-N, tested. We're to be genuine, authentic, sincere, as he was, without wax. It's like the old Southern preacher once said, now listen to this closely, because you have to, or else you won't catch it. He said, I like these way these Southern preachers sometimes say, he said, be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. Now let me repeat that. You get it. Be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. Some good words of wisdom there. Will Rogers once said, live in such a way that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. Reminds me of a story of a church out west that had burnt to the ground. And the only available space in town for them to have their next Sunday morning service was the tavern downtown. So the preacher one day thought, well, at least I can go ask the tavern keeper if he would allow us to meet Sunday morning because they don't meet there, and we can have ours. So he made arrangements with the tavern keeper that the tavern keeper on Saturday night would clear out the tavern, set up chairs so they could have their worship service on Sunday morning. Well, as the crowd arrived, they took their seats, and then it was time for the preacher to step forward behind the bar. And the old parrot in the corner, which they forgot to remove, spoke up and said, ah, I say, new bartender, but same old crowd. Huh. Live with integrity. Live a life that is sincere, whether you are home alone or with the crowd at church. Now, if you connect these two biblical facets together, it's to be like Jesus. Catch that truth. It's to be like Jesus. Now, in order for you to be like Jesus, you have to know Jesus. And I'm not talking about knowing him, who he is as a person. There are a lot of people out there, I bet you run into them every day, know about Jesus. They know who he is, even what he did, and yet they really, really don't know him. Because knowing Jesus is to have an intimate relationship with Jesus so that it's no longer you who lives out your life, but it's Jesus who lives out his in you. And when that happens, guess what? You will be faithful. You will be sincere. Three men were in a rush to catch their flight. And in their rush, they knocked over a young boy with his table of baskets and apples. And they went flying everywhere. Well, the men continued in their rush, but one of the three was moved to go back and help the boy pick up his baskets and his apples. And the man reached into his billfold and took out three large bills and gave them to the crying boy and said, "Here, I hope this will take care of all the damages." And the man continued on his way to catch his flight. Young boy looked up and called out to the man, "Are you Jesus?" The godly will walk in integrity. Could it be said of you? Could it be said of me? Are you Jesus? It should be. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, may we